Today in the Contract or Fight podcast, we're digging into what it means to get eyeballs. I'm going to share with you the best approaches you could take to get the phone to ring with the best prospects in your area and leave all the bad ones for your competitors to chase after. Let's go. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Getting Eyeballs episode of the Contract to Fight podcast. It's all about getting eyeballs. You got to get the phone to ring consistently with the right prospects. And if you don't, you're going to have a hard time selling stuff. Today, my guest is an old friend. He's been on the show before. We actually live in the same town and never get together, which is ridiculous. I got to have you guys, you and your family over to the house, man. Got to have you over. Spencer Powell, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Good to see you. I know it cracks me up. It's like, it's the classic, like, family that lives 30 minutes away, but you like never see them because it's just far enough, you know, even though you and I are probably only like 10 minutes away. So no excuses.
Yeah. We're kind of northeast. So Banning Lewis area right in there.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's probably Mark Sheffield, 20 Woodman. Minutes or so. Yeah.
That's all good, man. We're all good. So dude, how you been, man?
Been good. Yeah. It's been a fun year so far. Yeah. The boys are about to turn 4 and 2. So, life goes quick.
Yes, it does. Our youngest are seniors in high school right now. So it's, things like that, man.
That's what everyone tells me. They're like, you're going to blink and they're going to be going to college.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Well, dude, I appreciate you, finding some time here this week to hang out and talk marketing. And like I said at the top, man, this is all about helping people get the phone ring. And you're pretty damn good at doing that for the clients that you work with at Builder Funnel. Give us kind of an overview of Builder Funnel. What do you do and who do you do it for and stuff, just to kind of set some context here?
Yeah. So we do primarily digital marketing, and really our sweet spot is like a niche within a niche. So we could take residential construction and then carve out like design build. So that would be interior remodelers, kitchen, bath, whole home additions, and then custom builders. So generally people that follow that design build process in one form or another.
Yeah. When you started though, were you everybody? Kind of like most businesses do. You just said, we're going to help everybody market. And then over the years, you just kind of said, hey, this is our sweet spot.
You know it. Yeah. When we first started, the reason we got into this industry is I started working with my uncles who had the family business at the time. They've been in business, the family has, for over 100 years out in the Seattle market, but my uncles had that business at the time. So I started doing some work for them on social and figuring out the website and SEOs like 2010, 2011. But yeah, we also served just some other random industries that came to us. And then it was a few years in and we said, there's going to be a million like inbound marketing agencies and digital marketing agencies. Like, we need to be different. So we niched into residential construction, we'll call it. So home improvement, you know, spec builders, community builders, custom builders, interior remodelers, like all of that. But recently, past several years, we've kind of put our North Star as like, if we're going to be the best at something, we need to create our world. So we're not going to be the best marketing agency. Like, that's, we're not going to serve every industry and be the best in every industry. But even within this big industry, are we going to be the best for all these different like slices of it? And so I'm not claiming that we're the best in our niche, but that's our North Star and that's what we're striving for all the time. And so that's why we've kind of like continued to narrow and narrow, but it's made everything a lot easier because we get to know that audience really, really well.
Well, it's a lot easier to systematize what you do as well and have the processes in place and see patterns and formulas that work, you know, for that certain specific niche. So,
yeah. And that's why, I mean, even for like all the guys and gals listening to this, I mean, that's why you see a roofing company doing 30 million and all they do is roofs. It's like, well, they probably could do windows or kitchens or baths. Like, they have the client base, but it's not as efficient. It's not as profitable. And, you know, so niching down and really finding out like, who's my ideal client, but what's my ideal project, where do I make the most money, the best margin? Like, those are all business decisions that, you know, if you think about it at day one and day 1,000, like, you want to scale it out in the right way.
Come on, man. You start talking like that, people are going to be like, man, I got to track my shit now. You got to figure out what my best most profitable services are, but no, I'm just giving you a hard time.
It's obnoxious, right? It's obnoxious.
You're fanatical about tracking stuff, and I love it, man. So before we get into this, I would love to hear from you how you define marketing.
It's a good one. I should probably come up with a formal definition, you know, but the way I would define it, hearing you ask it like on the fly, would just be trying to think of the first word to use, like a method of driving qualified prospects to your business, I guess would be if I had to just like simply define it, if I were trying to boil it down into like one sentence. If I were to elaborate, I would add a lot more stuff, but I'll kind of leave it there as my off the cuff, like one liner.
And if you had a differentiation, how would you define building your brand?
I would define that as lower cost per lead over a longer time horizon. And so if you think about, like, I never understood branding for a long, long time. And I feel like I'm still learning more and more about branding, like the further you get into it. But brand, I think, is a combination of like recognition and like the ability to recall, but also like what you stand for and like what your culture is. And so if you think about the big iconic brands, like we know them, right? It's Nike, it's Apple, it's whoever. And we know them through repetition. And then we also know them through like the exposure, like we're holding them there, we're using their products every day. But we also start to associate them with certain words and ideals. And that helps deepen the recognition or the recall of that brand. And so, you know, at the local level, you know, you think, okay, well, I'm not trying to be Apple. I'm not going to be Apple. But people, they see your signs, they see your trucks, they see if you sponsor Little League games, they see like the experience that somebody shares about your company, they see an employee that works at your company and they talk to them and how do they talk about the company? Like all of those things kind of get melded in there. And so I think brand is kind of an extension of core values and culture and like your company DNA, but then it's kind of like the, how do you push that out into the world and get that like repetition in front of your audience? So I feel like it's a monster topic, but that's how I think about it because, and then back to how I originally answered it, which is like lower cost per lead along a long time horizon. If you do a billboard today, that could be seen as a branding effort, right? Like we want a bunch of impressions. We want to get exposure to our company and our brand. But if you just do it one time, it's going to be a really high cost for probably little to zero result. But if you do it 100 times or 200 times over 5 years, then suddenly you get all these people that have seen the exposure over and over and over and over and over. And then 5 years later, a whole bunch of them need what you have at that time, but they didn't 5 years ago. So now they need it and they recognize you. And the best example I have of this is when I bought my engagement ring. Now, Tom, this is going to be a question for you because you're local. Like,
uh-oh. I'm already thinking of a company I see. So.
Jeweler. Yeah. I'll just say jeweler in Colorado Springs. Anybody coming to mind?
Luisa Greff.
Exactly right. and this is crazy because I moved here when I was in fourth grade and I probably heard that commercial on the radio freaking hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times from fourth grade all the way through high school, left for college, came back. And then when I was getting ready to propose, I was like, well, I know these people. I'll just go and talk to them. And of course, after you get in there and you talk, like, I'm not going anywhere else. Like, I'm just going to buy from them. So can you imagine if they said on year one, branding doesn't work?
Right. Right.
Extreme example, but it's a very real one. And it actually happens and it actually works, you know, and there's going to be people that you catch in year one, in year two, in year three, in year four, that they were 24 at the time. I wasn't, right? I was 12 or whatever it was. So hopefully that example like helps connect some of the dots around brand and how it actually is lead gen, but you have to have a really long time horizon.
Well, it's about, you know, one of our values in the contractor fight is play the long game, right? Everything we do is the long game. And and I think that's an area where a lot of contractors go wrong when it comes to building their brand or marketing their businesses and getting leads. It's like, if I do something, if I run an ad or, you know, whatever, and I don't get a lead today from the ad, I'm ticked off and marketing doesn't work and I'm never going to invest in it again because it's a ripoff. And so I just think too many people don't have that long game mentality. Not to say that you should be spending money on stuff that doesn't work over time, right? I know there's always that that balance, but, and you brought up yard signs and trucks and billboards and, you know, things like that, which to me are tactics, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd love to talk a little about, I guess, for the bulk of this, maybe here today, this is one of those things that's always, when I figured this out, the game changed. I'll just leave it at that. So I find that most contractors throw a bunch of tactics at the wall. Oh, I heard Facebook ads work, so they run Facebook ads. I should have a truck wrap, which you should, right? Door hangers, Google ads, content. You know, they're just throwing all these things at the wall, hoping something sticks. What can you talk to about maybe the difference between strategy and tactics? And then what, like, how would you go about creating an actual strategy that you could work and have the right tactics supporting that? Like, what would that look like?
Yeah, I think a good analogy to talk about the difference between like strategy and tactics is design and build. So if you're a design build kitchen remodeler, like you're not going to just like walk into a kitchen, talk to somebody and be like, oh yeah, I've done kitchens before. Like, let's start pulling out cabinets. Like, let's start painting, right? Like, those are tactics. Like, could you get a pretty good result? Like, probably, because you've done it before, right? Like, you know what you're doing, but will you get a superior result on a better budget, on a better timeline, if you did some design and planning and scope and, you know, that upfront in the design process? Like, of course. And so it's the same with strategy first marketing. And that's why we take that approach is, sure, we could come in, like, let's do some SEO, let's shoot some video, let's, you know, like you said, do all these random tactics. And like, you might get a result, you might not. But if you take a strategic approach first, then you're lining up all of the tactics to follow on with the context of the strategy that you set up front. So I think that's the analogy that maybe helps like tie the two together, because you still can get some results with just tactics, but the odds go down and the magnitude of them is going to be much less.
Well, I think a strategy's got to be rooted in knowing, like you shared earlier in this thing, like, what's your ideal project? Who's your ideal client? What does that person look like? Who do you want to clone? And then what language do you use to attract them and repel the others? That's all part of strategy. And that just, that makes everything easier. Like, when you run an ad, if you're speaking to that person, you're going to get higher quality leads that come in and you're going to be closing those deals more often than not.
100%. It's like, let's say you do kitchens, baths, and basements or something like that. So to your example, you could run an ad that just says like top quality construction services. It's like, okay, well, that's super broad. But if it's like all the way centered around kitchens, like 20-day kitchens, you know, whatever, some guarantee, click here to learn more. Like, well, one, it's all about kitchens, so it's very targeted. Hopefully you've got like some imagery that ties into your ideal client and their lifestyle too. So now that's contextual. But now you've got maybe a timeline, a special timeline and a special guarantee, but you can only do that because you're really good at kitchens and you don't do a million things. And so you get the privilege of including that because you can actually accomplish it versus the guy that just does all the construction services, right? So I think everything gets contextualized, the ads, the content, right? If you're writing blogs, if you're shooting videos, like if you're just focused on kitchens, then you can hone in all of the context around just that. So you get the, I think you get the benefit of context, but also focus, versus if you do 10 services, now you got to do content around all 10 of those things. And each one is a beast in and of itself. I know you know that because you're a big content creator and it's a lot of work. So
yeah, that is. I'm being reminded, this was a really long time ago, man. And I actually saw this in a magazine, like one of those higher end neighborhood magazines a million years ago. And I thought it was brilliant. And if I were thinking at the time, I would have taken a picture of it and could use it as an example. So I'll probably butcher it, but this company, they were a design build company. They did kitchens. That was like their main thing. And it was an ad for a kitchen. It was this gorgeous kitchen with an island and all this other stuff. And it was empty. Nobody was in there, right? But it was really nice. Professional photography and stuff. And the headline, the big thing that jumped out, said something along the lines of, this is the center of your universe. Hmm. And dot, dot, dot. And then down below, they had just really well-written text, like punchy copy, right? I'm going to drag it out because I don't remember the copy. But it said something like, something about like, this is where the homework gets done. This is where the cookies get made. This is where this one hit me, was the late night tears with a teenager happen. You know, like it, and it was painting this emotional picture. Now, who's that for? Like, that was for the woman of the home, man, who wants that kitchen. It's the hub of the house. It's the hub of the family. All the activity handles it. That's what we're talking about, guys, is building that strategy around what does that space really mean to somebody, you know? And that's why marketing is an ongoing thing. Refining and or optimizing your strategy should be something that's getting better over time as you're learning more about your clients. Here in the fight, dude, like we have our, now strategies are, I probably do this a little bass backwards. Our number one strategy, just to give people an example here in the contractor fight, is we will be the best educators to help home improvement contractors stop stealing from their families and bring respect back to themselves and the trades. Okay. So the strategy is to be the best educators. The tactics are things like this, the podcast, the YouTube channel, events that we put on. So those are tactics. And to me, my strategy of being the best educator will be timeless. That isn't going anywhere, but the tactics can change. And I think that's something that maybe we could speak to a little bit. Like when you have the right strategy, it ain't going anywhere, but the way you communicate it might need some tweaking.
Yeah. And I think there's a few things in there that made me think of. One, I want to go back to your ad example, because the part that we don't want to overlook is a fantastic example. I love the imagery. Like you can see yourself sitting in that kitchen, right? Like, and so not only is that the project, it's the person, it's the who. And I think, you know, a good strategy is formulated around, yeah, what kinds of projects do we want, but also who do we want to do those projects for? Where do they live? What kind of lifestyle do they have? We have a custom builder that basically, it's like a niche of a niche, but they basically found out that they serve like or do a good job for people that have planes. And so they can build like stuff for people that have planes. Well, some of their tactics are going to be a blog post talking about aviation tips or plane storage or plane security, or like why would you be blogging about that when you're a custom builder? Well, you would if that's who you're trying to attract. Same with like, you know, maybe it's first floor remodels or something, and you're like talking about creating a mud room that's like a drop zone for the biker, the skier, the whatever. And you got all these special compartments and the way the layout is constructed, so you can just like get to the mountains quickly. Like that's the level of detail you can get when you're thinking about the family that's doing X, or this is the kind of like they're in this income class, so they golf and they ski and they play tennis. Okay, well, what can I do that's product-based, but also marketing-based and content-based that makes them feel like I get them all the way?
That's gold. You brought up the airplane, thinking of a guy years ago who a lot of his best clients were into boating and sailing and things like that. And so kind of that same realm. At the Contractor Fight, our goal is to change the contracting industry for the better. And we know that the best way to do that is by educating one contractor at a time. It's why we put out so much valuable free content on our YouTube channel, podcast, and in our free Facebook group. Today, I want to invite you to join us on Facebook, where our 11,000 strong contractor community is working to build better businesses and charge what they're worth. You'll find a place to connect with other contractors, share tips and ideas, and enjoy free live training and Q&As with myself and other Fight coaches. Join us by visiting thecontractorfight.com/Facebook and help us with our mission to bring respect and dignity back to the trades. Oh, and hey, if you are already a member of the group, I challenge you to invite another contractor friend to join us. Send them the link, thecontractorfight.com/Facebook, or invite them in Facebook. Super appreciate you guys. I'm out.
Probably don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but it makes me think. But you know me.
I'm always good for a good rabbit hole.
There you go. But it's like when you run an ad, you guys, like if you run an ad, the imagery has to be it should look like who your ideal client is, right? Like you brought up tennis and golf and these things. And I'm, again, the thousands of projects I've done in my life, you know, this one woman, she was embarrassed of her home because every week after tennis, they would go to one of the girls' houses, one of the women's houses to have wine or coffee or whatever they were doing on a Thursday afternoon, right? And she told me in the sales process that she always made an excuse to not have it at her house because she was embarrassed of her house. And so like if I'm sitting here pulling back now going, okay, if I were going to run an ad, I might have a picture of the girls walking out to their Mercedes from the tennis club going, it'd be nice if they could come to your house for a change.
Yeah. You know,
just something amazing along those lines that pokes that sort of a person. Now, maybe they're a golfer or something else, but they would still get the point.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned that example. Sorry to cut you off there. Yeah. We used some of that language early on with my uncle's business, is the embarrassed thing. And that, so that like, once you get to know your clients in a lot more detail like that, then you see those common threads. An embarrassment to host or entertain is a common one, right? And see, but you can only, you know, use that to connect with them at a deeper level if you know them at a deeper level.
Yeah. Well, you know, here in town, Matt Heiner Outdoor Living, and he did our yard front and back and some stuff. And when he came out, now he's been a client of ours and we're friends and this and that, but he still came out and we had a conversation. We're standing in my old, ugly front yard a year and a half or so ago now. And he goes, literally just asked me, what am I doing here? And I opened the floodgates, dude. I was like, I've lived in some really nice houses through the years and I've never had a yard that I've been proud of. And then I pulled out my phone and I go, Matt, you know me. I broadcast to the world several times a week from this stupid phone. I'll pull it up. I'll go live and this and that. And whenever I go live and I'm outside at my house, I have to position myself where nobody can see the yard because I'm embarrassed of it. And so,
there you go.
So to that point, now let's pull back on this. Like he didn't do this, but like pull back knowing that he could easily run an Instagram post or an ad or campaign or whatever it is, billboards in town, this and that, that talk about, isn't it about time you have a yard you're proud of?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just a thought provoking question to get guys. I can't pound this into your heads enough. How important it is to put in the mental work of who that one individual is that's out there, because once you key in on that one, there's thousands of them. Okay.
Yeah.
You brought up different types of people earlier, made me think, see, this is just like story time back and forth. Neil, our CEO here in the Contractor Fight, former design build guy, sold his business in 2012 outside of Chicago, had an amazing business. And what he found is their ideal client were dog people. Mm. Anytime there was, so they made it part of their questionnaire. Like, do you have any pets? Yeah, we have three pets. Oh, what do you have? If they had a cat, they didn't want to work for him, and the jobs never went well because cat people were morons. Okay. And dog people were great to work with. They're way more easygoing. So they started using some of that. Like if they were to use an image in an ad or whatever, it would have a family with dogs. Cause that's
love what
they
it. Yeah.
So it was kind of funny.
And then you could ask like, hey, is it okay if we bring our office dog to the first meeting? Like, yeah,
that's good stuff, man. So for somebody who's like, okay, this all sounds good, man, but I'm not a marketer, you know, where's the low hanging fruit for somebody to get started on some of these things, just to really start dialing in their marketing strategy so they're not wasting a lot of time and money on the wrong tactics?
Yeah. I think steps one, like the first step is defining what you want it to look like in X timeframe. So typically a year is like good planning timeframe. We're hitting like Q4. So, you know, thinking about next year, this is good time. Like, what are sales now? What do I want sales to be 12 months from now? How many leads am I getting now? How many leads do I think I need, you know, 12 months from now or 3, 6, 9 months from now? Like those are contextual questions that will help informing some of the tactics. And then when we think about, you know, like who you're wanting to attract and what types of projects, like those are huge because that we've kind of spent some time on that, but that's going to add the context to how you apply some of the tactics. Then you do, I mean, at the end of the day, you do have to have some marketing knowledge because from that, you're kind of like putting these things into the box, right? They're all adding context. Okay. I want to attract kitchens in these neighborhoods. These are the kind of families we want to work with. Okay, I'm really clear on that. Okay, this year we did 12 of these. Next year, I want to do 16 of these. Okay, well, where did we get these 12? Do we think we're going to get 12 from the same channels? Yes or no? Okay, how are we going to get four more? You know, okay, what channels? Well, can we exploit channels that are already working? Can we just double down or triple down? Do we need new channels? If yes, okay, and then that's where you'd start looking at new channels. Okay, do I need Google Ads? Do I need an organic strategy? Do I need to be shooting video? That's where it can get a little bit like we're getting way into the weeds, but hopefully through that, you saw some of the decision-making trees, right? Okay, where do I get my existing work? And is it reasonable to get the same from those channels? And can I just do more or do better? That's the first place that I would look is, can you do more of something that's already working? Because the worst thing would be you get somebody like me coming in there and like, I'm a marketing expert, scrap all this stuff. We're doing these new things and you're going to pay me to do them. And it's like, well, those are all untested for your business right at this point. So to run tests and start new channels, like you're going to have some lead time and there's going to be some learning. But with existing channels, if you've been tracking, then you have that data and you can make better decisions. So I like having a blend of like that 12-month strategy and like tactical runway. But I also like to be thinking more long-term because I may need to start, just using the example, the radio ad that I'm thinking 20 years ahead on that one guy that's going to come and buy a ring for me 20 years from now. You know, like, so you don't want to not do the long-term things. And so I feel like there's always a blend of short and long-term. And yeah. And then it comes down to budget and time and, you know, the other factors. So,
well, I think in something like you do, totally correct me if I'm wrong, but design build projects aren't typically fast moving things, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like you wake up, you open Google, you hit a button, schedule an appointment like you do with a plumber to come fix something, right? So it's a very different, it's a long game type thing because people are indifferent. They're thinking about the project for years before they do it or whatever it might be. And I one of the things I try to get everybody to get through their heads, if you're a design build contractor right now and you want to lead today, the lead you get today is from the work you did 6, 8, 12 months ago or beyond.
For sure.
And so if you want leads today, if you're listening now and the phone ain't ringing the way you need it to, what are some things you could tell them to, you know, shit some leads now? Yeah, I mean, really, yeah. Right? Like, good, you got question. Some guys yeah. listening to this right now going, okay, I get this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start working towards this, but I could use some leads now.
Yeah. My favorite, like, just blanket answer for that is Google paid ads. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about, so I'll come back to your plumbing example too, for the guys that maybe are doing smaller, quicker projects. But if somebody is thinking about remodeling their kitchen today, they're going to go to Google and type in kitchen remodeling company, Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And if you're not ranking organically, which is a long-term strategy and tactical plan that you need, then you can pay your way to the top and you can drive some activity, right? So you can say, I'm going to bid on these keywords, these phrases, and these zip codes. I'm going to drive people to my site. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we would want to make sure that your site is set up to convert and capture people. But that's going to be a very quick way, right? Like, you can put dollars in and you can get some traffic going your way. And you know, it's going to be contextual. Somebody went to Google, they typed in a certain keyword, they're looking for a certain type of company. Now you're in, you know, your hat's in the ring. Mm-hmm. So that's a very fast way. Obviously, you can always go back to your existing customer base, you know, reach out one-to-ones, you can do email campaigns, that sort of thing to like become top of mind. But you know, the people that are going to Google are actively looking. So that's why I say that as the short term. Real quick on the plumbing example, I feel like even though that is a short term, like I got a problem, I need a solution now, the long-term strategy play there is ranking in Google for lots of those terms. And then you're not going to pay for the individual click. You're going to earn it over time. The quick strategy is, I'm going to pay for ads and I'm going to just try to drive as much lead gen as I can. But if you're working a long-term and a short-term strategy, over time, more of your leads will come from organic and your cost per lead goes down, your margins go up, your profitability goes up. So just wanted to throw that out there too. Like, it can be applied to something that is very quick hitting, but you can have a long-term strategy around how you get those leads.
Love it. A couple more questions here, man. Just off the top of your head, what are there any unhealthy, negative marketing trends you see contractors taking the bait on right now that are hurting them?
I mean, stopping and starting is, I wouldn't say that's like current. That's a, I've always seen that. Inconsistency is a, just brutal. I mean, you'll end up spending a bunch and then you stop for a period of time and then you spend some more and you basically broke the chain and like reset a lot of your, any momentum that you built. So I would highly encourage people to be consistent in their efforts. I'm sure you didn't start the podcast and then do 3 weeks and then stop it. You know, you did it over a long period of time and you were consistent. And that's one of many reasons it's been successful. Obviously, you're entertaining, you have good content, like you have to have those other pieces. So I would say the stop start thing. The other thing I'll say is like probably people jumping on the TikTok trend. I don't want to say
Gary, you can thank Gary Vee for that.
Right? Yeah, I know. It's great. we've been slow to move into that space. Because my philosophy has always been, I don't want to be on the bleeding edge. I'd rather be on the cutting edge and then still be a few steps ahead of the majority, right? So like, let's let the bleeding edge test, make all the mistakes, like see what we can learn and then jump in, like still be an early adopter. And you could probably argue at this point, like TikTok maybe is past that, like maybe you're into the majority. But I think people jump into that as like a tactical thing and they didn't think through the strategy. And so that would be the unhealthy part is like, I'm going to do some dances, jump on these funny, you know, little things that everyone's doing. But my question would be, what is that doing for your brand? How does it fit into your overall strategy? Like, is this actually presenting your company in a good light? If it is, great. This is one of those buckets where you'd say, I'm testing this channel and I'm doing it in a thoughtful way and I'm going to let it play out over a period of time. But if you kind of just like jumped in, did a few funny, you know, dances and then, you know, whatever, like don't expect a lot. And it may like anyone that saw it and they were like, eh, that's kind of weird. Like it may have done more harm.
Yeah. Well, this goes back to knowing who your ideal client is, right? Where are they hanging out? What's important to them? So I think most people in the design build space, for instance, again, I have no data to back this up. Okay. I'm just going off of a hunch. That the type of person that's going to do a high dollar, high profit design build project that's not going to be a pain in the ass to work with is more likely to be found on LinkedIn than they are on TikTok, right? Yep. I found we had a few different ideal client personas through the years in our painting business. And one of them was actually business owners because they were busy.
Yep.
You know, and they were busy. They understand that shit costs money. They know that time kills deals. They understand, like, they see the value in what you do. And typically, this is me as a business owner. I don't have a lot of time to go shopping for a lot of bids and research. I'm going, who's got the brand? Who's got the great reviews? All the stuff like we talk about. I'm picking up the phone or I'm filling out the form and I know it's going to get taken care of. And yep, I'm going to jump on board into their process and things like that. So I own my own crap here. You know, for a while, I was, you know, you got to be on every platform under the sun and you got to be visible. And I think there's still a little wisdom to that in some ways, like in broad strokes, right?
Yep.
But I've also, I mean, today, you know, Logan, my video guy, is behind this other camera here. What's up, Logan? All right. He's, you know, he lives here in the Springs and we were talking in between all our shoots and stuff today. We were looking at our TikTok. We were looking at our analytics and the views on our Instagram reels and we're evaluating. We're like, this ain't doing shit. Like some of this stuff, you know, a lot of these things are taking a hit and we keep coming back to the podcast and the YouTube channel, Like it's just one of those things that it's 90-95% of our revenue as a company every year originates by somebody getting on our email list on one of those two channels, you know, like hands down.
Yeah. And I think the other factor that we didn't spend a ton of time on today is real constraints, and that's dollars and time. And a lot of people, they have a, you know, a dollar constraint. And so that's when it's really important to track because everybody has dollar and time constraints, but to what degree is always the question. But if you're evaluating like, okay, I have time for two social media channels, not six, then yeah, you want to be really intelligent about, okay, it's going to be Instagram and LinkedIn, and we're going to cut, you know, TikTok and Facebook or, you know, whatever it is, or we're going to do video. So we're going to do X number of videos. So that's the other piece that I think like gets melded into strategy is like, if I have X dollars, then how am I going to best utilize it? And then that will include or exclude certain tactical things just because you simply can't do it. And then I do want to include in this that you always can create time. And so if you don't have dollars, luckily, we live in a world where you can use your time online. You don't have to door knock at midnight. Like you can actually door knock digitally, you know, at midnight. Literally, how I got this business off the ground was individually messaging people on LinkedIn one by one, literally over 1,000 people to invite them to a free webinar where I talked about our methodology. And we landed our first few clients out of that. And then over time, I was able to do less and less of that because that didn't scale very well. But if you're in a spot where you literally dollars, you can't spare them, like you can't put them towards marketing, you can put time to it.
Oh, well, that reminds me of, you know, guy we both know, Marcus Sheridan. You know, he just spoke at a Mile High event and stuff, and he's done many events and workshops for us through the years. And Marcus, wasn't at this most recent event. It was one we had in Florida the year before, I think. It was a smaller event. He came down. He says, don't give me this crap that you guys don't have time. He's like, and he shared about river pools and stuff. Like he had no money to market during the last recession and all that. And he's like, I sat at my kitchen table from 11 p.m. till about 1 a.m. every night for 2 years. Every night. Let me say that again. Every night for 2 years. And I wrote a blog post. And I wrote a blog post, and so there's always something that we can take control of in our marketing. So
yeah, I love it. Yeah, mine was slightly different. Just I didn't fortunately do 11 to 1, but it was like 7 to 9 at night. You know, you're just direct messaging people, doing doing what you got to do. So
good stuff, man. So before we get out of here, is there anything else that we should touch on for a minute or two that we haven't talked about that you're just burning to share or you think might help somebody listening?
It's a good question. I think it would be more just like a real call to action to actually take some of the things that we just talked about and like jot them down, you know, like rather than open up like some more to think about it, just the stuff that we went through. This is the stuff that we go through Q4 for our clients, for our own company, like, where are we at today? Kind of take stock of that. What drove revenue this year? Like which channels? And then what are we trying to accomplish next year? And even if it's just super basic, if it's just, this is where I'm at, this is where I'm trying to go, this is what worked this year, this is what didn't. Maybe we should just try doing more of what worked this year and see if we can get more output. Like it could be as simple as that. And then at least you can feel confident that you took a couple of steps. I mean, I would love it if you sat down and really defined ideal projects, ideal clientele, and kind of like try to get a picture in your mind or on paper of who that is and kind of their lifestyle. And that will help. You can refer back to that as you create the tactical things throughout the year, and it'll give you kind of that North Star of where you're going. So I think that's what I would say is just take 20 minutes and just, you probably got a lot of it in your head, and then you could enhance it with some, you know, some more research or bouncing ideas off people or connecting with other people. But you could probably in 20 minutes, like get some more clarity and just feel better about it. And sometimes that gives you the confidence to actually just execute on it consistently.
Something we skirted over about 15 minutes ago, and I don't want people to miss this, is you talked about sitting down, like just what's the best type of project you can do, right? Get clarity around that. Guys, the more clear you are around the types of jobs you want, to what Spencer just shared, take 20, 30 minutes, whatever it is, sit down. Job cost a few different types of projects and go, man, every time we do this type of project, we knock it out of the park. These are easy for us to pull off, whatever. So that might be the thing that you go, we want more of those. Set a goal for the next time frame, quarter, year, whatever it is, of how many more of those projects or how many of those total projects you want to do in a year. And here's why. Here's something I've learned on this, not to get all woo-woo on people. All right. I've just realized through the years that whatever I put my focus and attention to, it grows. So if I just go, I just want to grow the business by $1 million next year, but I'm not targeted in what that is, it's less likely to happen. But when I say, I'll just use the fight, right? We have our battleground program. It's our big group program. We set an actual number of new members per quarter goal, right? And when we do that, we're way more likely to hit it because our whole consciousness is around it. And I think we're attracting it and all that other stuff, which I know is getting into the woo-woo land. But guys, have a target. Don't use a shotgun. Use the sniper rifle. Put your crosshairs on the exact type of projects, zip codes, whatever it is that you want. In fact, I worked with a guy, Spencer, last year. He wanted to do more interior painting projects, and we narrowed it down to like three different subdivisions in his city.
Love it.
Like literally those subdivisions. And then we're like, okay, what events are going on in those subdivisions? Do they have, one of them had a, on Thursday nights, they had like a farmer's market every Thursday night in the summer months where they had live bands and food trucks and stuff. So he started sponsoring things there and his son. And guess what happened? There's the increased interior paint jobs in that exact community.
So, yeah. Wild. Yeah. I could barely believe that happened. that's a good example. I believe in the woo woo stuff too. I mean,
yeah.
I had a funny example from when I first started this business, but I like, remember at the beginning of the year, I wrote down all these like big goals, blah, blah, blah. And some of them were business related. Some were like personal savings, investing, like just across the board, health related. And I like slid it in my desk and then, you know, like just keep going. I literally found that thing like the next year, early the next year when I was going to create my next goals list. And I think about 2/3 or half done, checked out, like not all of them, but like just putting it in the subconscious, thinking about it. Like, and I think the more you remind yourself of it, I probably could have done better than half. But yeah, I think there's a lot of power to that.
That's good stuff, man. So dude, somebody's listening to you. They're like, this guy's he's locked in. I like him. How do they find you? What's a way that you'd love for somebody to reach out and check you guys out?
Yeah, builderfunnel.com is the easiest way. We've also got a little tool there. You can grade your site, but you can also hit up the contact form. You can get a hold of me that way. If you like LinkedIn, I'm there. Or you can pick up a copy of the book, The Remodeler Marketing Blueprint. That's on Amazon. Yeah, any of those ways.
Yeah, you stole the words out of my mouth because I was just going to say, you got a book too. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, right here. Yeah.
Right there. Look at that. Remodeling Marketer Blueprint. So,
yeah.
Where you kind of peel things back and open some eyes. So that's good stuff, man.
Yeah. It's a good framework if you just like look at digital and you're like, how do all these pieces go together? What's the framework here? Like, it'll add a lot of clarity to that.
Good stuff. Well, dude, once again, I just wanted to thank you for hanging out for a little while with us here today and adding some great value to the fight. We got to get together sometime soon, man. You know what? I'm going to make the commitment right now by the end of 2022.
I was just going to say that. I was like, we should do it by the end of the quarter. So deal's a deal.
I'm heading out of town next Tuesday for a couple weeks and I'll be back first week of November. And so sometime after that, let's plan on getting together and I'll buy you a beer or a root beer or something. I don't care. Whatever.
Sounds good. Well, yeah, no, let's make it happen. And yeah, thank you for having me on. I always enjoy our conversations about this stuff and appreciate it.
Likewise, man. Appreciate you. Everybody give us a rating, give us a review, go check out Spencer and Builder Funnel in the show notes. We'll put the link in there for you all. Pick up a copy of his book and I guarantee that you're going to learn something as well. And with that, you guys rock and we got to roll. We're out.